Morning. We are so glad that you are here, that you're joining us today, that we get to just come together and worship and just be a family in God. That's such a beauty, that's such a blessing, and it's such an awesome thing. We realize that a main key point, a big thing with families is the moms, or the mothers. I want to take a second, and I just want to give moms a round of applause. Let's do it. Let's do it, because they deserve it. They deserve it. They really do. Moms, all of you moms out there, I just want to say thank you, because first off, we wouldn't even be here without you, so we appreciate that, and then the rest of it, I mean, just growing us, just raising us, we can't even imagine what that's like. I can't imagine what that's like, but I mean, it does remind me that moms have a hard job. They have a really hard job. They have a lot of weight. They have a lot of pressure upon them. And the passage that we're going to jump into today talks about these sorts of things. But before we jump into it, I want to take just a second. So if you're still with me, if the guy next to you is falling asleep, give him a little thump on the back of the head. Hey, did you wake up? We got ground to cover, and we got stuff to grow in. So give him a thump on the head. We got a lot to cover, and we're going to cover it. But I want to start with a few names. I've got a few names. So I want you to sit, and as I say these names, I want you to see if you recognize any of these names. If you don't, that's fine. But I just see if you recognize these. Name number one, Gary Brown. Name number two, Paula East. Susan Wiseman. William Legg. Charles Grimes. And Leon and Donna Sawyer. You're probably thinking, who the heck are these people? Well, the truth is, these people aren't too far away from here. And in fact, we have something very in common with these people. In fact, these people are just about 10 minutes away. And maybe if you recognized one of them, maybe then you would realize that these six or seven people, they are 10 minutes away, but they are 6 feet underground. These six or seven people are the stones that I work at my cemetery, and that I see just every week, and I pass by these names. And these people are gone. They are not with us anymore. They are 6 feet underground, just 10 minutes away. And you're probably wondering, Paul, that is like such a bad way to start a sermon. Like that's so like, why would you start us on a down note like that? Because James reminds us of that, and James is gonna walk us through this, and we're gonna dive into this passage. So if you've got your Bible, open to James 4:13-17. If not, it should be on the screen as well. So let's dive into James and let's see what he has to say about us being gone. He says this, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into this city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business, and we'll make money. But he says, why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say this. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. If anyone knows the good they ought to do, and they don't do it, it is sin for them." And so we hear James saying all these things, and we're like, yeah, James, get them. You tell those sinners out there. You tell that community that needs to change their way of thinking. We're like, you lay it down, buddy. You got it. And our question for today is that even though James was writing this to a different community, is he writing this to us, to our community, to ourselves? You see, this has got to be one of the biggest rebukes of pride and self-sufficiency within the Bible. See, after issuing a call of repentance and forgiveness, James starts to address this problem within this community that he's talking to. And what we want to figure out today is, are these same things that they were struggling with? Are we struggling with these things today? In our homes, maybe in our churches, maybe in our communities. Maybe it's in our state. Maybe it's in our nation. But we're going to answer those questions, and we're going to see how James sort of talks to the three different areas of our life. He talks first to our head, and then he talks to our heart, and then he talks to our hands. And we'll discover that as we go along. But before we jump into that, I'm going to ask the question today. And instead of asking the question that everybody's asking, I'm going to turn it around, and I'm going to ask the question that not many people are asking. Because sometimes that's the question that we should be asking. And what that question is what is due at our deadline? What is due at our deadline? Because we have to remember that 10 minutes down the road, they're there. What was due at their deadline? What is due at ours? And so we're going to answer that question today. But before we do, we're going to jump into these different areas of life that James is talking to. So keep that in the back of your mind. Keep thinking about that. We're going to get to that. That is the big question. We're going to answer these, and that'll help us to answer that question. So question number one, when James is talking, the first thing he talks to is our head. And so the question is, what do we think? And the answer to that is that our lives cannot be determined by worldly deadlines. Our lives cannot be determined by worldly deadlines. And what do I mean by that? I mean that in our life, our homework, our jobs, our life in general will set these deadlines out upon us. And so easily we can let them determine what we are doing in our time and in our days. And I mean, just this week for myself, these worldly deadlines have determined what I've had to do. Because I had a big test yesterday, and I had a final a couple days before that. And I had this thing that I had to do on this Friday night, and I had all these things going on. And my life this week was determined by these worldly deadlines, by these worldly things that the world had put in front of me. And I thought for a minute, I'm thinking, man, I guess that's what it's all about. I guess I have to just meet all these worldly deadlines. But that's not what James is saying here. But before we see what James is saying, we're going to answer the question that's a question that humans have been trying to answer for a millennia. And we're going to answer it in like 2 minutes. So if you just hold on, we're going to answer this question because it's a really good question, and the Bible is very clear about it. And that question is this. What happens after our deadline? Before we can answer what is due at our deadline, we have to answer what happens after our deadline, because that'll help us answer that big question. And it's, again, one that humans have been trying to answer for a very long time. And unfortunately, the reality of most is this. And this is what Amy Carter says. She says that the afterlife is whatever a soul wishes or believes it to be. The afterlife is whatever a soul wishes or believes it to be. Well, in that case, I wish and believe that you're not in it. So how about that? I mean, that doesn't work, does it? That doesn't work. That doesn't add up. But unfortunately, that's the reality of most. That they're living day to day, that they're meeting these deadlines, and their only thing that they're thinking about is that, yeah, the afterlife, that's whatever I wish it or believe it to be. But the truth is that it's not. The truth is that there are two places after our deadline to vanish to, as James would put it. He said, we're missed, we're vanishing. And those two places are heaven and hell. Both very real. Both very eternal. And I love what Matthew 25, 46, he just lays it down right here. He says, and these will go away into eternal punishment. He's talking about sinners. He's talking about the unrepentant. He's saying, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Heaven and hell. What is after our deadline is not simply what we want it to be. Unfortunately, that's not the truth. The truth is that there is heaven and there is hell. And you'll see that as we dive into this passage, it really matters what we do before that deadline. And it really matters what is due at that deadline. See, how many times in our life have we let worldly deadlines, worldly assignment dates, get in the way of us remembering and of us realizing that there is one big deadline where we are 10 minutes away from? See, we'll do all of these things in life. We'll accomplish all these things. But do we realize that maybe some of these things are getting in the way of us realizing that there's a big thing at hand? I love what Psalm 90, verses 10 through 14 say. They say this, that the years of our life are 70, or even by some measure of strength, they are 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, O God, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad in all of our days. A life is here, and it is gone. And so we have to change our way of thinking, right? This is this first attitude. You see, when James is saying today or tomorrow, we will go into this city, we'll spend a year there, carry on and do business and make money. He's saying, no, you cannot be in that attitude. You cannot have that way of thinking because we don't even know what will happen tomorrow. See, when James is writing this to these people, he's rebuking their way of thinking. He's saying, you have to get out of this mindset that you're in control of what happens tomorrow, that you make your plans for your life. Sure, we may make plans, but we don't know what happens tomorrow. And Psalm 90, again, is a great example of how short it's gone. And so that's how we must change our way of thinking. So then the second thing we have to ask ourselves is how do we feel about this? And so the question is, what do we feel? And again, it's that our lives cannot be determined by worldly demands. Our lives cannot be determined by worldly demands. And so you're asking yourself, then Paul, what's the question between a demand and a deadline? We see a deadline is an external thing that your work, your homework sets before you. You've got to get done. But an internal demand is one that your heart is pushing you to. And it may be something good, but it may not be something good. Because our hearts will one day fully be redeemed if we choose for them, if we choose Christ. But our hearts are very broken. And they desire and they want very bad things. And so we cannot let these inner demands that we feel within us determine our lives. How often and how easy is it for people and their demands of us to determine what we do? Even this past week, people calling me up saying, hey, I want you to do this. Hey, I want you to do this. I need you to do this. And those were determining my life. Those things that those people wanted, those demands of those people, those demands of my heart, those were determining how I was spending my time. And so I did not spend my time very well. And James hits it on the head. He says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. That 10 minutes down the road, we will be with those six names at the beginning. That we're going to be 6 feet underground. And that while we're here, we have to change our way of feeling. We have to change our way of believing. From thinking that we cannot let worldly demands determine our lives, and from believing that we cannot let these inner demands or worldly deadlines, we cannot let these inner and worldly demands determine our lives as well. So now we know what not to think, not right, right, right. Now we know what not to believe. But what is James ending this with? He's ending this with, what can we do? What can we do? And the truth of that question is that our lives and others' lives can be determined by our doing that, by our doing. He says this, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. If anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. If anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. And the truth of what James is saying here is that we have the choice. We have the choice right now to decide, are we going to let our lives be determined by worldly deadlines and demands, meeting them, constantly going after them? Or are we going to let it be determined by our doing and choosing to do God's will? And so James is talking about God's will here and that we have to follow it, that we have to just choose to live it out. So then the question is, what is God's will? What is God's will? And I love what 1 Timothy 2 verse 3 says. He sums it up so well right here. He says this is good and pleases our God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved. All people to be saved and all people to come to the knowledge of truth. This is the Lord's will, for all people to be saved, for all people to come to the knowledge of truth. And that is your and my responsibility to help that cause, to help will God's will as we live it out. And we have the choice to live that out. So then you're asking, Paul, well then what lives need to be restored? What lives are being lost? Well, I've got some numbers here, and as we think about these, I want you to think just for a second, and then we'll get into how we answer these problems in our world. But just let this sink in, just for a second. That we have to restore the lost souls of the world's kingdom, and we have to restore them to God's kingdom. And we can't do it. Christ can do it through us, though. And the answer to that question is that there's 158,000 people, approximately, that die every day. 158,000 people that die every day. But the harder truth to kind of chew on is that 66,000 of those people, 66,000 of those people that die every day die without ever having access to the gospel. Without ever having access to the gospel. That's twice the population of New Albany. It's like you wake up tomorrow morning, you're driving through New Albany, you're going to go to Kroger and State Street, and it's empty. And it hits you that every single person living there is now burning in hell because they did not get the chance to hear God's word. And so that's kind of a heavy thing to kind of take on, to kind of realize. That's a burden. And I realize that. And I take that upon myself as well. Not just throwing it on you, but throwing it on me, is that number can be reduced through our doing. That not only our lives, but others' lives can be changed by what we decide to do and how we decide to do it. You see, we are missed. Our physical is, at least. Right? This stuff right here, these molecules, these atoms, they're missed. They're here and they're gone. And they're 10 minutes down the road sitting 6 feet underground. But our spiritual, our spirit is eternal. And it will eternally go one way or another, to heaven or to hell. It doesn't just go wherever we wish it to. That's not the truth. The truth is that it will go one way or another. And so if our spiritual is eternal and our physical is missed, then how can we help those to realize that? And I love what Matthew 10:28 says. It says this, it's giving us courage to be bold. It says this, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the body and the soul. See, this stuff right here can only destroy more of this stuff. That physical can only destroy physical, but there is an enemy out there that can destroy both physical and eternal. And we have the choice whether we are going to step into God's will, and we're not going to let that happen in our own lives, and whether we're going to step into others' lives and help them realize that truth as well. So I hate to step on your toes, but I'm stepping on my own toes as well. Really, I'm stepping on my own toes more than anyone else's. And I asked my question this week. I asked this question to me, and now I ask it to you as well. I asked this question to me, and I want to start asking this question to myself a lot. But if I was to rinse and repeat the last couple months of my life, maybe the last year of my life, if I was just to rinse and repeat it for 60 years or however many years you want to do that, if I was just to rinse and repeat it, then how many lives, honestly, how many lives would I, with Christ, would Christ through me impact? How many lives would Christ through me impact because I'm choosing him? And the answer to that question for me, brothers and sisters, is that number is a number that I am not comfortable with. That number is a number that is very low. That number is a number that I want to change. And so I ask this to you guys to think about that, to not let that hold you back, but to let that push you forward, to let that sink in and make you change your way of thinking, to going from worrying about all these worldly deadlines, these worldly demands, and start living and doing God's will, because that is what can change. So let's answer that big question that not many people are asking. That big question, that what is due at our deadline? And the answer to that is a final report. a final report. Romans 14, 12. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Revelation 20, 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Matthew 12, 36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account of every on the day of judgment for every empty or careless word they have spoken. And that's something that we read that and we're like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. That's kind of rough. But that is the truth. That at the end of our deadline, that is what is due. That when we go and we stand before the King of Kings, what are we going to say to him? Because we have to give an account for every careless word. I mean, how many days have I spent of my life waking up and going to bed, meeting worldly demands, meeting worldly deadlines, speaking careless words, only to wake up the next morning to do it all again? I know that's something I struggle with. I know it's something I fail at a lot. But with Christ, I can change that. And with Christ, we can all change that. And so we have this final report due. And at the end of the day, we have to give an account. Not only for every action that we have taken, but for every word that we have spoken. How many people will live their entire lives following Amy Carter's wisdom of the afterlife being whatever they wish or please it to be, climbing this ladder? They're going up step at step at a time. They're getting that raise. They're getting that good job. They're getting that spouse that they always wanted. They're getting that this. They're getting this. They're getting that. They're all of these things. They're meeting all of these worldly deadlines. And they get to the top of this building. They're like, yeah, I climbed it. And they're like, yeah, man, I'm 80 years old, but I climbed. I got to the top of this building. I made a lot of money. I did all this stuff. Only to realize on the day of their deadline, they were climbing the wrong building. That their ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. We can spend our entire lives climbing ladders, but we have to realize that the ladder that it's leaning to, that ladder has to be leaning on Christ. And that ladder has to be heading towards the kingdom, which is God's will. And what is God's will? For all people to be saved. And it leads us to our final sort of point, our final sort of takeaway, that if you remember anything, remember this, and let this encourage you, let this challenge you. Do not let this throw you down, but let this challenge you to take a step up. And that is this, that how we meet our deadlines and demands will determine our destination. How we meet our deadlines and demands will determine our final destination. We can spend our whole life meeting those demands, meeting those deadlines for work, for school. I know I've certainly done that week after week for school, just one after another, not even realizing the souls that were around me inside of that school building are going to hell if they die tomorrow, and that I can do something about it. But I choose not to because there's all these deadlines, there's all this pressure on me, there's all this weight. And I have to change that way of thinking within myself. I have to, as James would put it, not let these worldly deadlines, as James would say, and as I'm saying, not let these worldly deadlines, worldly demands, change my way of thinking or my way of feeling. We have to change our way of thinking. We have to change our way of believing and feeling. And ultimately, that will lead to us doing differently. We have the opportunity to do differently. And we can all leave this building today and do differently in a few different ways. And what I mean by that is that we can leave and we can go and we can say, all right, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to do all this stuff. And I've got the strength to do it. And we leave and we will fail dramatically. Because at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, none of us have the strength to do what James is calling us to do. But with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ himself walking with us, with the Holy Spirit inside of us, we have more than enough to complete the will of God, for all lives to be saved, for all to come to the knowledge of truth. And what I'm asking and sort of begging the question that, yes, none of us, or not all of us will go out there and become the crazy guy in Africa ministering to the tribe or something like that. A few of us will. But that's perhaps not the calling of all of us. Maybe your calling is to be a prayer warrior. I mean, if it is, then I beg you, become the best prayer warrior you can be. Maybe your calling is to be a sender. Maybe you fund the people going out there. If that's it, then become the best sender you can be. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's a leader in your own local home. Maybe it's a leader in your community. Maybe it's a leader in your church, in this church right here. Maybe it's a disciple maker. There are all of these different roles that each of us are specifically good at, and we have to find it, we have to live it out, because that is God's will. Because at the end of the day, we are here and gone. And everything that happens in between will determine our final destination, and we can also help determine the destination of others. I'm going to go ahead and call the worship team back up here as I leave you with this final thought, as I leave you with this final thing to consider, to think about, to just sort of chew on, for lack of better words. And it's something that I've tried to think about a lot in my own life. And it's this: to not let potential be written on your tombstone. Because we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know what will happen in 30 minutes. We don't know what will happen in a year. And we don't know when our tombstone is going to be 10 minutes away, right down the road. What's going to be written on it? Are the words "great potential" going to be written on our tombstone? Yeah, he had great potential for Christ, but old Paul just let all the worldly demands and deadlines get in his way. And Paul has to give a report to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, for choosing to live life that way. And I don't want any of us to have to do that. And that is why I'm asking all of us to just consider that. What ways can we change? What things can we change in our life? Not tomorrow, today, right now, right here, in our way of thinking. Are we letting these worldly deadlines get in our way of thinking? We're letting these inner demands guide our life and determine our life? Or are we doing God's will? Are we living out God's will? And so we have great potential, not for our own kingdoms, because frankly, our own kingdoms, they don't matter, but for Christ's kingdom, because Christ's kingdom is eternal. We have great potential, brothers and sisters, to be a part of building Christ's kingdom. And so my call to you today is this: in your head to know it, in your heart to believe it, and finally, through your hands, to become the change in the world that Christ is calling us to do. To save every man and woman, every child, because Christ wants all to be saved, and he wants all to come to the knowledge of truth. And that is upon us as the church to fulfill to the best of our abilities. We're not perfect. We're far from it. I am very, very far from it. But with Christ, we will be made perfect on that final day of redemption. But let us not forget that we have a report due on that day as well. Lead me to your heart.